running for our Senate District 8 seats to represent Kauai and Niihau, we have Kanoi Ahuna and incumbent Ron Kochi. So Kanoi Ahuna comes from the Pana family here on Kauai. She has her PhD and is a leader and advocate for Hawaii's families, having worked in public service, in education, healthcare, and cultural preservation for the last 17 plus years. Kanoi is also a proud mother of three boys and a loving wife to her husband, Dan Ahuna.
Ron Kochi has served Kauai as a member of the State Senate for the past 6 years. He's currently honored with being the state president of the Senate. Working with his fellow legislators, this year Kauai will receive $114 million to invest in our schools, roads, highways, bridges, affordable housing, social services, and more.
So welcome to our Senate candidates. Running for House District 14, we have all three candidates present. Nadine Nakamura served as County of Kauai's Managing Director and council member. She ran a planning consulting practice for over 20 years. She is a wife and mother of two children. Over the years, she's been a soccer mom, theater mom, PTSA mom, and Girl Scout cookie mom.
Fern Rosenstiel is born and raised in District 14. Fern graduated from Kapa'a High School before attending universities in Australia, where she obtained a Bachelor's of Science with three majors in Environmental Sciences. Fern worked professionally as an environmental scientist before moving home in 2012 and actively involving herself in the community and the future of Kauai.
So Dr. Sandra Combs is a wife, mother, grandmother, and business owner living in Kapa'a Town. She holds a PhD and has been working in education for over 35 years. Concern for the state of government and education in Hawaii has prompted her to run for the State House of Representatives. Welcome to our District 14 candidate.
Running for House District 15 is Tommy Oi, and incumbent James Tokioka was unavailable to attend this event. Tommy Oi moved to Kauai with his family in 1970. He has 25 years of experience in government, Department of Transportation, Highways Division, Department of Land and Natural Resources, Land Division, Legislative Aid for Representative D. Morikawa, Kauai member on the Board of Land and Natural Resources, and is the present owner of Tommy Oi Land Surveyor, LLC of Niue.
Running for House District 16 is incumbent Dean Morikawa. Candidate Victoria Franks was unavailable to attend this event. Prior to being elected to House District 16 in 2010, Dean worked for the County of Kauai for over 36 years. She is currently the chair of the House Human Services Committee and also sits on Health, Housing, and the Judiciary Committees. She is married to Ken, has four sons, and resides in Waimea. So mahalo to all the state legislative candidates that are here tonight.
We'll begin with the basics. All candidates were provided with the same 12 questions prior to this forum. If you're running for the same seat, you'll receive the same question. For example, all three House District 14 candidates will get the same questions. There will be three rounds of questions with 90 seconds to answer each one. A reminder to please watch our timers, Melissa and Wiley, right over here, to see how much time you have left and listen for the ring of the bell to let you know when it's time to stop.
And you'll also be given two yellow cards, or she already have them. This yellow card will allow you 60 seconds that you can rebuttal or respond to another candidate's question or get in the last word. If you have a yellow card left at the end and time allows, you may use it for closing remarks. So we'll begin with our candidates for the Senate seats with your first opening question. So what is the most pressing issue in your Senate district, and how will you, as a legislator, address it? So if we want to start with incumbent Kochi, and then you can go down to candidate Ahuna right after that.
Aloha. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Aloha. Well, we have infrastructure problems with our highways in particular. We have issues with drug abuse in our community. We have issues that face our economy, and how do we strengthen that and create a living wage for people here? Affordable housing and homelessness are all very important, as well as renewable energy to get the cost of operating a business down and put more money in our pockets. But I believe the most pressing issue facing us and the greatest asset and most valuable thing we have are our children. And so it's investing in our pre-K. From 2 years ago with $6 million, this year we've increased the pre-K funding to $10 million. And from K to 5, we have buildings that are very old and cannot carry the broadband capacity. They don't have the wireless connectivity for our students to utilize devices to be competitive with students throughout the world. Toward that end, we've put $5 million in this year's budget to ensure that all 15 public schools on Kauai will have the connectivity so that we can now pursue devices so we can achieve one-to-one learning goals so our students can learn at their own pace. They can pursue what they're passionate in and make sure that they can compete with anybody in the world. And if we empower them and we allow them to get the skills to become great employees or create businesses and be entrepreneurs, we'll wind up where we will allow them to close the income gap. We'll allow them to become homeowners. And most importantly, we need to invest in all of our university system, but in particular here on Kauai at KCC, so we have the job training so that we can have our students empowered to go into the work world and be ready to perform. Thank you.
Aloha, everyone. So I really believe that the most pressing issue for Kauai is to lift the tax, the transient accommodation taxes for our county, especially because the lack of these increase or the lack of these taxes that we are not receiving since 2007, actually the state received 2,363% increase versus the counties who have received a minimum of 2.2% increase. And so it's really important to get this TAT tax back to Kauai, back to our people, to support beach liability and protection for our fire rescue and lifeguards. They are often rescuing outside of their jurisdiction, places like our state parks, Haena, Napali Coast, Koke'e, and that is, we really need to give them that protection and that liability, as well as our infrastructure. That's a huge thing for us, infrastructure and capital improvements. We have too much traffic here. We need support with our roadways. Affordable housing is another thing. We need more long-term affordable housing, not this short-term. And what is truly affordable housing? Affordable housing is not $500,000, $600,000, $7,000 homes. It's really looking at those that will, those homes that will actually support our homeless and our houseless. So long term, not short term, not homes that are being built and then in 10 years being sold on the market. State hospitals and community health centers are another one. We really, it's very much essential to have our healthcare services in our rural communities, especially the west side, and as well as Samuel Mahilona, because that's supporting our North Shore communities. It's a needed service to, yeah, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorary. KAQA, Kilauea.
We all have the questions, so if you want to go one after the other, thank you so much.
In contemplating, can you guys see that right now?
It's difficult when we're all given exactly the same question to kind of try to, you know, say something that is going to be significant to you as our voters to understand where we stand on things. I think that the most significant thing that I've had to deal with and had to have conversations about is the issue of affordable housing in my district. if it's not the number one thing that people mention, it's in the top three. So in complaining about that at school and with my students, I said, somebody needs to do something. And they said, Miss, you're somebody. Do something. And so my whole heart is to try to show kids that they can participate in this democracy, that they can have a voice also. So in looking at this problem, as my fellow candidate mentioned, it's not always a homelessness problem. In fact, on Kauai, it's more of a houselessness problem. We have many families living in very crowded situations because they just are living together, and that's not ideal. So with several generations, and even on my street where I live, on Amani Street, we have some houses that have probably four generations living there, and it's very crowded. So we'd like to be able to alleviate some of that. Part of it is that it's not a magic bullet, one single answer to the entire problem. It's multifaceted and requires a tremendous amount of research. As a legislator, I plan to explore all kinds of options. Rezoning to higher density is one. Looking at allowing 5 to 6 story buildings in areas that do not negatively impact the current residents, allowing additional rental units on the properties, public-private partnerships with employers who, for instance, Kmart is wanting to provide employee housing.
Thank you, Senator Cohen. Senator Nakamura. Traffic congestion through East Kauai is the most pressing problem that I've been hearing from residents I've talked to. So if elected, I will work really hard to ensure that funding is in place for three important projects. One is to add a southbound lane, a Lihui-bound lane in front of Coco Palms, basically from the bridge to the beginning of the bypass road. And the project is moving forward. The second one is to add a northbound lane on the Kapaa Bypass Road, where there's only one lane now, so basically from the roundabout to Kuhio Highway. And the third project is to add a Lihui-bound lane from the other side of the bridge all the way to Honolulu. And that extension could be either on the side of the existing highway or using the Wailua Kihau roads. And so these are projects that are very important to this district, and I would work very hard to try to get funding for these projects. We should also, while we're working on these projects, really look at the contraflow lane situation in Kapaa Town. It's backing up on weekday afternoons, backs up on Sundays now, and on holidays when it doesn't work. So I think that's something we should look at right away. And I believe the county and the state should partner. The state should be a partner to look at the shuttles on the east side, north shore, and south shore that ties into the main line so our visitors can get out of their cars and onto transit. That would help to alleviate the traffic. So I think by working together between the state and the county, we can try to address some of these goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Nakamura. Candidate Rosenstiel.
Thank you. I share the opinion that our traffic issue is one of the largest issues that our district faces, and I also agree that we need these projects to move forward in a timely fashion and on budget. I also think we need to immediately solve the contraflow issue by opening maybe the canyon roads and the additional accesses to Lihui so that we can stop the contraflow because it's very dangerous and we need the infrastructure. So I totally share that opinion. I agree that we need to move forward addressing the traffic congestion and infrastructure issues in our district. But I believe that the most pressing issue in our district are the interconnected social issues that our community faces, things like drug addiction and affordable housing, the cost of living, houselessness. And I believe that these hard-to-tackle social issues are what's the most important thing that we come together and we solve for the future of District 14 and Kauai. Mahalo.
Hi, my name is Tommy Oe. My main issue we have in District 15 is the traffic coming from Wailua to Lihui and from Lihui to the tree tunnel and from the west side coming into Lihui in the morning. And a lot of these problems, there's only the simplest solution would be to to the state and the county would participate in ride sharing or staggered work hours, where that ride sharing, if they would, if you ride, share rides to the Hui, you would get maybe a free parking stall at the state building or the county building. And staggered work hours, I think that would help the state and the county, because it would be more efficient, and there would be more time for people, the public, to go and visit the different offices.
Yes,
but the solution for me on the from Wailoa to Lihue would to build another lane over the what you can see is the ditches on the Mauka side of the road, where you can put culverts and put the road on the culverts. And I would, what I would do would give the, there's a couple of landowners there, give them an incentive to dedicate some land for the extra lane.
Our family, everybody is so happy to be listening. I want to give my panelists some mic skills. Say your name first, and then be careful when you're talking into the mic. Make sure you're clear.
Yes, they are not.
Don't be too close so that there's a so that way people can hear you well. So I want you to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. Thank you, Candidate
Morikawa.
So, Candidate
Morikawa. Thank you, D. Morikawa. First of all, I think the most pressing issue is AC in this cafeteria. But getting back to District 16, I do have newsletters in the back that talks about all of my issues. But in early July, I was tagged in a Facebook post about the sudden shutdown of hunting lands in Coquay. These are huge acreages of hunting lands. These are areas that my husband and I used to go bird hunting, and elderly people go there because it's easier to access than those rugged mountain hunting areas. So anyway, with complaints from the hunters and, of course, myself, we were able to get DHHL, which is Hawaiian Homelands, to agree to allow one more year for DLNR, which is Land and Natural Resources, to have another year to allow hunting, and hopefully in that year period they will start talking about options. And I think one of the options would be to talk about land exchanges, because Hawaiian Homelands needs to be in areas where you can develop, where you can put infrastructure down, you can get the native Hawaiians into the homes. So we need to have a discussion. Sorry. And Hawaiian Homelands is getting a lot more funding year to year, so they have to start being more effective with how they use their monies and start to build these homes. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, candidates. All right, thank you so much, everybody. All right, so we're going to start off with our Senate candidates. Again, your first question will be, what do you consider a living wage in Hawaii? What would you do to address the disparity between men and women's wages for the same job? Senator Kochi?
Well, a living wage is, I'm sorry, my name is Ron Kochi. A living wage in Hawaii currently is at about $11 an hour. We're getting the reports on how difficult that is. And so we're going to go back at it. I believe that we'll be considering a new minimum wage increase in the upcoming legislative session. I have seen materials where the $15 wage that was adopted in Washington State has now created an income for working people that make them ineligible for benefits that they're presently receiving. So I think we need to be careful. We need to look at where the $15 wage has been implemented and make sure that we put in a living wage that works for the people the most. As far as equal pay for equal work, we have 8 women in the Senate. We have a strong women's caucus, and that's part of the majority package of the Senate to continue to work at closing the pay gap. And while we're better than most states, we're still not where we'd like to be. And we're, again, continuing to work on that, and then we'll continue to be in the majority package of the Senate. Thank you.
A reminder, you guys do have 90 seconds to respond, and then you all do have your yellow card, which will give you 60 seconds if you want to jump in on this question, because you are going to get different questions down the line.
Hi, aloha, kanoi obuna. So, what do you consider a living wage? I think that's a very subjective question because it depends on how one lives. So, is it just for survival or is it just for making it, you know, is it for providing for your children or does it mean providing for your children with thinking about college education ahead? But according to MIT or Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a living wage in Kauai for a family of five is $22.15 an hour. And so that's $45,528 in before taxes in a year. And I don't know about you, but I have a family of five, and I don't think we could live off of that. Because my three boys eat a lot. And so the cost of living in Hawaii is really about 65% higher than the national average, and the cost of housing alone is extremely high in comparison to the national average, as we all know. So this includes our utilities, our groceries, our health care, and our transportation. So I truly believe in supporting the increasing the minimum wage over time to meet the cost of living. And in regards to disparity between men and women, I definitely, as a woman, believe that, you know, it's actually a hot topic in the presidential election. And women have been paid 20% lower than men in the same job. And this is the 21st century, so we really need to make a change in that.
Thank you, Senator Akuma.
I think that when we're looking at the minimum wage, is this working? Yeah? Okay. When we're looking at the minimum wage, I'm sorry, I'm Sandy Combs, and I'm running since 14. The reason that I'd like to address it is because I think that there are some things that are part of the demographic in Hawaii that are not part of some of the other states, and that is that one in five people in the state of Hawaii work for the government. So the minimum wage isn't as significant for them because they're getting into jobs that have something to do on a different kind of pay scale. And when you have that many people working for the government, you have people who aren't creating jobs for other people either. They're not entrepreneurs. They're not business people. They're working for the government. I work for the government. So I would like to see us address some of the reasons why we don't have high-paying other kinds of jobs besides minimum wage jobs.
Thank you so much, Candidate Cohen. And now the next question for State Representative for District 14 candidate, House Representatives. The question is, the cost of housing in Hawaii is some of the highest in the nation. What would you do to address both homelessness and the lack of affordable housing? We'll start with Candidate Holmes.
I kind of answered that a little bit. This is Sandy Combs, running for the 14th District. And I talked about that a little bit in my introduction, having to do with houselessness as opposed to homelessness. And now, can you hear me now?
Here's a different mic.
Here's a different mic. Okay. Thank you for sharing. In regard to coming up with alternatives for housing, that it's not enough it's an inventory problem on Kauai. We don't have enough houses to accommodate all of the people. And so what my proposal is that we look at ways to provide additional housing that's creative besides building on top of each other and all sharing the same house. So one of those is, as I started to say earlier, working with some of the larger employers who are having a hard time keeping employees, Kmart being an example of that. If we would find a way to provide housing there, then they would have a stable workforce because, of course, if you're getting an employee housing, you're not going to want to quit your job or be flaky.
And then the employee then, especially those entry-level positions, kids can't afford to move out of their parents' home. And so if they had a way to do that. In addition to that, there's a way to streamline the process whereby people acquire farmland and they can start farms. If we don't streamline it, it's still a very laborious process, but if we're able to, then we could provide homes that way.
Thank you. Candidate Nakamura.
Nadine Nakamura. 2 weeks ago, I met a woman who is moving into her brand new three-bedroom, two-bath house in LA. Her mortgage is $238,000. She's part of the Kauai Habitat for Humanity project there, and over the past year, she and her family have put in 600 to 700 hours, along with other families in her team, building her and the other neighbors' homes. I think this is a really great example of how affordable housing can be built and the price point that we have to achieve to really make it truly affordable for our families. And this happened with the assistance of the county using federal funds, being able to help with the drainage, roads, sewer, and water. We were able to keep the price low and affordable. So it's important that government gets involved in providing free or subsidized land, helps with the cost of infrastructure on and off site, and also helps with low interest financing. On the homeless side, we need to build, the county and state need to partner together to build temporary shelters and recognize that homelessness also involves substance abuse, mental health issues, physical issues, and employment issues. We have to look at it holistically. Thank you.
Thank you. And candidate Rosensteel, please.
Fern Rosensteel. I believe we need a really well-thought-out, comprehensive approach to these important issues. We do need to increase the inventory and support affordable housing projects. We absolutely need a livable wage, which with affordable housing crisis here could be as much as $25 to $30 an hour at the moment. We need to ensure diversity in different densities and that we're creating multiple opportunities to keep prices affordable. I would be interested in investigating a rent control cap and ways that we can stop getting families getting pushed out of the market. And when it comes to houselessness, I'm inspired by Housing First solutions that have happened in other states that have provided real solutions that give people bases and stability and then from there they can work on addressing other issues that might be affecting their lives. And as I said before, I believe that these social interconnected issues need to be addressed together, and to address homelessness and to address affordable housing, we need to look at a big comprehensive approach across the board. I'm inspired by the efforts of the state legislature last year in putting $12 million forward to address houselessness, and I think that we can do more. And I also support the tax credits, revolving funds, and the various good work in the community that helps us address these issues together. Thank you.
Thank you, Candidate Rosensteel. So we're going to go on to our District 15 candidate, Candidate Tommy Oy. Your question is, what percentage of Agribusiness Development Corporation, ADC, managed land, if any, should be mandated for local food production only?
Well, first of all, my name is Tommy Oy, and ADC, which is Agribusiness Development Corporation, they have their own board. I think their board should dictate, mandate what land, the percentage of land should be for local farmers. But in my thinking, we cannot give big acreage of land to farmers. I think we should cut back our land and give them acres, make agriculture parks with 2 or 3 acre lots with irrigation, where a small farmer would be able to sustain a small farm and make a living and subsidize itself.
Thank you so much for that response. Now for District 16. What measures need to be taken to protect the public trust doctrine and Native Hawaiian rights?
Candidate Morikawa.
Can I use my yellow card to say something about the AUC?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thanks.
Great,
I'll use that now.
Just sure.
Okay, there shouldn't be this is about the ADC mandate. There shouldn't be a mandate since Tommy Oy said ADC was created to manage those lands. But I wanted to say there's a very interesting conversation that's begun on hemp in Hawaii. There's a lot of organizations outside of Hawaii who are willing to come in and give us the expertise on how hemp farming can be sustained in the state. And I think that's a conversation that I've been involved in and I'm going to continue to be involved in, because what we need to do is we have the land, but we need to find out what the problems are. We need to figure out how it can be manufactured so we can keep the product here and not export it out. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Do I answer that other question?
Yes, and now the next question.
Okay, thank you. That's D. Morikawa again, measures to protect the public trust doctrine and Native Hawaiian rights. We need to protect Hawaii's natural resources. Hawaii's rivers, streams, oceans, and shores must be preserved in their natural state. However, providing irrigation waters to farmers, especially our taro farmers, is a priority. We need to make sure that water diversion does not impact our streams and rivers. And since we've lost our sugar and pineapple industries, we still need to maintain irrigation ditches to assure future agriculture ventures can survive. And that's why I support funding to repair and maintain our irrigation systems. In the larger picture of Native Hawaiian rights is the expansion of the Papahanaumokuakea Monument. I believe that the Northern Hawaiian Islands is an integral part of Hawaii, and the initial monument designation of 50 miles has had a huge impact in preservation. However, Native Hawaiians cannot access the area without a federal permit. And if they do get a permit, anything they catch or take cannot be brought out of that monument. That doesn't make sense to me, especially if we want to maintain Native Hawaiian rights. The proposal to expand 200 more miles around the existing 50 is worrisome. That's the size of the states of Washington, Oregon, California, and Texas put together. We need an environmental analysis before committing to this expansion. Thank you.
Mahalo, Candidate Morikawa. We're going to go back to our Senate candidates. And we're going to begin this time with Candidate Ahuna, then Candidate Kochi. So there is no Planned Parenthood clinic on Kauai. How will you ensure that all females have access to health care and full reproductive rights?
As a female myself, Kanoi Ahuna, State Senate candidate, this is actually a really important issue for myself as a female, and it needs to be addressed. I do know that we are getting some services here, that services similar to Planned Parenthood here on Kauai. However, our teenagers and our young girls, they need to know that they have a place to go for you know, whether it's in confidence, confidentially, or opened with their families or parents. And so that is a very important issue. I'm committed to supporting not only prevention but intervention in education, health, and self-empowerment of knowing your body. So there are many issues affecting economic, educational, social, and legal equality for women, and a Planned Parenthood clinic on Kauai would provide services to respond to these issues, and thus a clinic would be definitely beneficial for our young women and men here.
Thank you, Candidate Ahuna. Candidate Kochi.
Hi, Ron Kochi, candidate for State Senate. It's a real challenge. The West Kauai complex has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the state of Hawaii, and yet when the Department of Health made decisions of where to provide services, they're in Lehui and Kapa'a, and so we've been meeting with Dr. Pressler and presenting the statistics. I was at a meeting this morning at KVMH with the doctors where this was the main topic of discussion, and how do we ensure that all sectors of our island get the services that they need. We were amazed that it seems everybody else knows what the statistics are except the people in Honolulu making the decisions. And so we're continuing to work to ensure that that happens. And at this point, we continue to put funds in the budget as our budget has come back healthier. But during the Great Recession, with the kind of cuts that went across the board and the loss of federal funds, most of these programs were all federally funded, and the federal funds went away. With the Republicans taking control of Congress, there's no federal funds that are going to be coming to us anytime soon, so it's up to us to work at the state in partnership with the county and the private sector to create the opportunities that we need for young women here on Kauai.
Yellow card. I'd like to, in regards to Senator Kochi's response, I do believe that it's really important to continue our funding and our resources here for our state hospitals, KMVH, as well as Samuel Mahilona. There's no other place for our people, especially in the rural communities like the West Side. And it's important for us to be able to have those services out there. Yes, a Planned Parenthood or some type of service for our teenagers and our young children out there is very important. I actually worked in the Native Hawaiian healthcare systems for six, seven years and helped with identifying health careers to get our people, our local people back into working to service our people. And that's important. We can't be having mainland people service our people because they don't know how to. They don't know how to provide those services and connect with our people. So it's very important to have those services and continue those funding sources.
Thank you for that response. Okay, so for the next question for District 14, we'll start with candidate Nakamura. And the question is, despite a fairly low rate of unemployment, Hawaii has the sixth highest rate of poverty in the United States. What will you do to address this?
Nadine Nakamura, we have roughly 250,000 Hawaii residents living in or below poverty. For a family of four, the poverty income is $27,950. Our residents simply cannot keep up with the cost of living in Hawaii. And I would propose to reduce taxes that people in poverty pay. Studies show that they pay a higher percentage of taxes compared to people with higher incomes. So 26 other states have passed a state earned income tax credit. So if you work and you're in poverty, you don't get dinged by paying taxes. The other thing that we need to do is we need to gradually increase the minimum wage as our state legislature wisely did in 2014. That's why today our minimum wage is at $8.50. Next year it goes up to $9.25. And the year after that, $10.10. So we need to have the conversation about what happens after 2018. I also think that to truly break the cycle of poverty, that we need to improve our public education system. We have to encourage students to be lifelong learners and to create higher paying jobs so that our children have the skills to succeed and afford to live in Hawaii.
Thank you, candidate Rosensteel. Next,
Fern Rosensteel. I believe that we need to address this issue in many different ways. We need to address the poverty through improving the cost of living here or decreasing the cost of living here and supporting affordable housing initiatives like we've spoke about. I support a $15 minimum wage, and I believe that we can get there, and after 2018, we should. I also agree that we need to really expand our food production, agriculture, and create a booming sector that creates really quality jobs across the board, permanent quality jobs that bring in and reduce the cost of food, that stimulate our economy. I believe we need to support businesses, small businesses, and entrepreneurs, and really work to keep the money in our community, plug the holes where money is leaving our economy, and support families. And I also support tax reductions for those making poverty wages. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And now candidate Combs.
Sandy Combs. I think that my two fellow candidates have covered a lot of the areas, and I'd like to hit on one very strongly, and that's in education. The minimum wage isn't important to people who aren't shooting for minimum. And so when I talk to my students, I talk to them about being entrepreneurs. And we explore ideas about how they could go into business for themselves. And I tell them, if you work for somebody else, you make them rich. If you work for yourself, make yourself rich. So some of the things that are being dealt with at Kapaa High School are the career kinds of education. But even in things that aren't considered careers, if we incorporate business education into every kind of education that students get, understanding that at the end of the day, it's all voc ed. We're all going to get jobs. So with that being said, I would like to add that agribusiness is something that is definitely up and coming on Kauai, and that we want to encourage is how to make our island independent of other places and sustainable. And by encouraging business and, again, streamlining the process to owning your own farm and being able to have a profitable business in that is one of the ways that we can do it.
Thank you so much, Candidate Combs. And Candidate Oi, so your question is the Agribusiness Development Corporation doing an adequate job in monitoring and reporting air and water quality within the lands they manage? Please expand on your answer.
Well, being the past land district land agent on Kauai, I used to manage all the lands in Kekaha. And similar to ADC, we would provide this company with leases. Within the leases, you can put stipulations that the lessee, the lessor, should provide or take care of the air and water quality. If not, you know, there's we can provide penalties on that. So it's up to the lessors to do the water quality and provide clean air on the properties. But if the properties are not on the under lease from ADC, then ADC should take the initiative to make sure that the water quality is up to par. And I think right now they did hire, they have somebody on board to do the testing on the water.
Thank you very much, Candidate Oi. And okay, so Candidate Rosenstiel, you want to use your yellow card? Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You have 60 seconds.
I'd like to say that I believe that we can do a lot better when it comes to ADC monitoring and reporting. I believe that the violations to the Clean Water Act are unacceptable, and I also believe that the state constitution... I believe it's important that we follow our state constitution, and the violations in that way are also unacceptable. The Kekaha Ditch came back with a reading that exceeded the threshold by which aquatic life is supposed to be exposed to, and I have serious concerns about that issue, and I believe that we need to take the drift and contaminated runoff issues very seriously. We have a responsibility that the practices that are happening on these state lands are not impacting communities or the surrounding environment. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that response.
So now for District 16, Candidate Morikawa, what action do you feel the state legislature should take, if any, on the Joint Fact-Finding Committee's recommendations?
Thank you, Dean Morikawa. How appropriate that I would get this question. The legislature will probably support the State Department's request for funding, because there's no sense in funding initiatives which cannot be supported by the agencies to be tasked with whatever recommendation they decide to follow. I introduced back in 2013 HB 673, which was the pesticide reporting bill. It had everything in it, from buffer zones to pesticide reporting to everybody, to even the termite companies. There was a heavy discussion through the whole legislative session, and it was watered down, but it was a compromise that we came to. But it is something that the Department of Ag is implementing and can make better. There is that reporting available. There is also the Good Neighbor Program on Kauai, which is working. it should be expanded to all islands, because every island has different issues, and I believe that is where we need to do it. When I was first elected 6 years ago, I attended a Farm Bureau event on the west side, and I commented to them about how barren and dirty the vacant land looked all the way from Hanapepe to Mana. And, you know, today, you look at it now, they took my advice and they put ground cover down and they mow it. So it's a lot of work, and that's private and public landowners. So I just want to say that I'm happy to see that that at least has been taken care of. But okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Candidate Morikara. You're going to use your second card?
Yeah.
All right. So Candidate Rosensteel.
Fern Rosensteel again, yes. I believe that we need mandatory statewide disclosure immediately. I feel that the recommendations in the joint fact-finding group need to be implemented, and I've worked with the governor in the recent weeks to understand why. I think that we absolutely need buffer zones disclosure, and we need to resume data collection. We need to resume data collection of birth defect records, which have stopped since 2006. We need to absolutely support the recommendations, which are more than reasonable. And we must always remember that the absence of proof is not proof of absence. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Candidate Rosensteel. Anybody else? Okay. All right. So everybody gets the idea, and this is our last round. So we're going back to our Senate candidates. So we'll start with... So we'll start with Senator Kochi. So in your role as legislator, how will you meet the environmental threats to Hawaii's marine life and its declining coral reefs?
Aloha, Ron Kochi. I'm not sure, looking at the time, that we're going to have closing remarks. So before I answer, I'd simply like to introduce, by the water cooler, my wife, Joy, and sitting down, my son, or our son, Egan, who is done with school and working here. I'd like to thank them for their support in the campaign and allowing me to continue to do what I'm doing. On the protection of the reefs, I received the communication from Carl and the concerns of Surf Rider and the water quality in Poipu. I have met with the Department of Health, communicated to them that the signs needed to go up as directed by the EPA. I'm happy to report that as of today, the signs are up in Poipu to warn people about the water quality. I think Representative Morikawa has raised some great issues about the Native Hawaiian rights in the monument expansion issue, and some environmental questions need to be addressed, but I believe the proposal that was put out by Senator Schatz clearly shows a reduction in the area that would affect the fishermen on Kauai, while getting the expansion and achieving the environmental goals that we all aspire to for the future of all of our children. And so I do support Senator Schatz's expansion proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Kochi. Candidate Ohuna.
Hi, aloha. Kanoi Ohuna. So as a role of legislator, I would meet the environmental threats to Hawaii's marine life by, well, for sure, all of us understand and know and are aware that we live on Middle Island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And so our healthy marine life is essential to our living, not only because it's sustainability for the food that we eat, but it's the waters that our children play in. I myself contest to my son back there, who actually had an environmental issue with a brain tumor that just happened recently back in January that we just found out and had to deal with that. And going to Stanford Research Hospital, through a research hospital as itself, we found out that it was an environmental issue that actually entered through his right ear. So that, like, our clean water is a huge, huge concern of mine. And I believe we need to do something about that. So education and raising awareness to take action on preventative approaches that are already being presented to our legislators, we need to honor that. We need to acknowledge that in the state Senate, including even at the ground level in our schools, educational materials for our keiki, parents, community, and just acknowledge these things and know that they're, like our candidate Ferns stated, that there's already reports of our water quality. Let's do something about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. And now back to District 14. Oh, excuse me. Yellow card. Okay. Please go ahead.
Nadine Nakamura on the issue of marine life and declining coral reefs. I just think that we really need to look holistically and not just look at what's downstream, but what's contributing to the degradation of our marine life and our coral reefs. We need to adequately fund DLNR, aquatic resources, so that they can better manage and monitor our aquatic resources. We need to adequately fund the Invasive Species Council so they can respond to threats immediately. We need to provide low-interest loans to counties so they can partner with the private sector to create regional wastewater treatment plants in coastal areas that are contributing to poor water quality. And most importantly, I feel that we have to bridge the communication gap between the community and groups that monitor our resources and the Department of Health so they can agree on protocols and work and analyze data so we can move forward together as a community.
Thank you. So now to District 14, we'll start with candidate Rosensteel, and the question is, do you support the ban on commercial food waste in order to reduce methane emissions? What are the alternatives to putting food waste in the landfill?
Thank you, Fern Rosensteel. I support looking at ways that we can reduce the food waste. And I work at a third-generation family-run restaurant, and all of our food waste and slop goes to local farmers and hunters that utilize them for feeding operations. I believe that we can utilize these things for clean energy and utilize the waste as a resource. We can also put it into composting projects. I would be open to a program that works with the largest producers that helps to create these solutions and utilize this as a resource and reduce the methane emissions, as you said.
Thank you. Candidate Combs.
Hi, Sandy Combs. I absolutely support a ban on commercial food waste in order to reduce the methane emissions. And I think that we have a couple of really good examples throughout the nation. Massachusetts. They have a model that works. In the band, one of the most important things is they partnered with business and with community to use the byproducts and the waste in a good manner. The alternatives, like Fern mentioned, composting, biofuel, anaerobic digestion, repurposing, food bank donations, those are all things that have been really effective in reducing that amount. I'd like to address the food waste at our schools. It is astronomical. One of our science teachers went through and went through the trash at Kapaa High School. Mandating that kids take food they know they're not going to eat is ridiculous. If you know you're not going to eat the apple, don't take the apple. But they're forced to take the apple. So there are ways that we can address some of these things ahead of time instead of at the end result, which is just excessive waste.
Thank you.
Nadine Nakamura. In 2006, food waste comprised roughly 15% of Kauai's municipal solid waste stream. So this is a really important question. Methane contributes to global warming. So if we have a method to capture the methane, use it as a renewable source of energy to run our bus fleet or to help with run our wastewater treatment plants, we should definitely pursue it. In Oakland, that's what they did. They used, to run their wastewater treatment plant, they bring in scraps from restaurants and other eateries. They put it into an anaerobic digester. It breaks down the food waste, creates methane, and the methane is used to run a wastewater treatment plant. And I believe that our county sustainability manager, Ben Sullivan, is looking at this for our Lihui wastewater treatment plant. So it's something that the state should definitely support. I would support a ban for every county if we had in place systems like this that will help to get our waste
into a centralized, the food waste into a centralized system, and there's a system in place to bring the waste to that site. So it's definitely something that the state should pursue. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Candidate Nakamura and candidates from District 14. Yellow card. All right, Senator Kochi.
Thank you, Ron Kochi. I don't have a rebuttal because I don't disagree with what has been said. But on opening day, in my opening day speech, I talked about that methane anaerobic biodigester. But the one I envision is the one that is being fed by biofuels so that we are taking advantage of fallow land and putting it back into production. We take the food waste, we take the waste material from Kauai Coffee that costs them as a business cost and create value out of what is currently waste. What you then do is add additives into the biodigester, and you can create feed for fish, feed for cattle, but most importantly, I saw the application for feed for hogs. Kanashiro Farms is the largest hog producer here in the state of Hawaii, located on Kauai. And if we could have crops growing in the ground, growing livestock, creating renewable energy, and diverting this from the waste stream, I think it's a win-win-win-win-win solution.
Thank you for all your responses. We're going to go on to District 15 candidate, Tommy Oi. So, what will you do to reduce the influence of money on politics and restore government transparency? And then also for time-wise, District 16 candidate Morikawa, you'll have the same question.
First of all, the United States Supreme Court allowed the forming of super PACs to put money into presidential campaigns. They can put billions or millions of dollars into it. And so the United States Supreme Court did that. The only way we can control contribution is we have, the government has in place the Campaign Spending Commission. The Campaign Spending Commission monitors all candidates, their spending, what they receive from different organizations. And they have, it's online where you can go online and you can look at every candidate, what they took in and what they spent their money on. So I think we have something in place already, and we don't have to do anything more than that.
All right. Thank you, Candidate Oi. Right. Candidate Morikawa.
Thank you. I was also going to talk about the Campaign Spending Commission. However, the candidate, him or herself, has to be a good reporter of what is collected and what is spent. So that is something that each candidate has to do properly. But the House has passed a resolution signed by 45 House members, myself included, both Democrat and Republicans, urging Hawaii's congressional delegation to propose and pass a proposed amendment to the United States Constitution clarifying that corporations are not people with constitutional rights and that unlimited campaign spending is not free speech. Thanks. So we are trying. As far as government transparency, it is available not just in campaign, but government records through the Office of Information Practices. And they'll help anyone requesting assistance. And whenever we hear legislation regarding any new processes or task groups or committees, they're always at the legislature giving their input on how to make that legally correct. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates. If any of you still have a yellow card left, we'll allow you to use one yellow card that you can use for your closing remarks, for which you'll have 60 seconds. Okay. Candidate Morikawa.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes.
The one working. Oh.
Yeah, the only one coming your way.
Not working. I'm so sorry. Mahalo, everyone, for taking the time to listen to us and to be informed about your candidates this election. I love what I do so much that I've been blessed to have not missed a day of session in all my 6 years, and I've attended almost all my committee hearings. I've built good relations with my colleagues in both the House and Senate because these relationships are the most valuable asset of being a legislator. We all try to help each other develop good policies.
I am running for re-election to State House District 16, which is Southwest Kauai and Niihau, because I feel deep in my heart, deep in here, that I can make a positive impact on people's lives. I can't please everyone, but I continue to listen and understand everyone's passion. There's so much more we need to do and many more issues and concerns to deal with, but that's a challenge I look forward to, and I can assure you I give you representation you can depend on. So I humbly ask for your vote of confidence to allow me to continue doing this important work for you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Another yellow card. Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, I'd like to thank all of you too for participating in this forum, and I'm glad that I was invited to this forum. And for me, running for office, the main purpose of running for office is team, a team that would worry and depend strictly for Kauai. My whole thing is about what we can do for Kauai as a team. I worked with Dee Morikawa for 3 years, and I know I can work with her if I get elected next week, and the District 14 representative. And as a team, we can move Kauai forward better than by working as an individual. And I'm pretty sure I could work with Mr. Ron Kochi, since we drink the same beer.
Thank you, Candidate Oi.
Nadine Nakamura. First of all, I'd like to thank Laurel Breyer and all of the organizations to help sponsor tonight's event. I'm excited for running for this House seat because I'd like to work to build a stronger and more vibrant Kauai and state of Hawaii. And it starts with strong, supportive families that are healthy, thriving, and living a good quality of life. It starts with children who are engaged in school and challenged in their school and outside of school. And it starts with maintaining the natural beauty and resources of Kauai and ensuring that future generations can enjoy all that we sometimes take for granted. And it also starts with ensuring that our most vulnerable in society, our kupuna, our disabled, and our mentally challenged, do not get left behind. I respectfully ask for your vote. If elected, I pledge to listen to you, to actively seek solutions, and continue working for a better Hawaii. Mahalo.
I'm Sandy Combs. I probably should say this. What happens if you drop your comb at the beach? What do you get? Sandy Combs. Oh. All right, it's cheesy, but you're going to remember. I am just proud and blessed to represent the District 14 population, but specifically my students. I want to thank them for the encouragement and the love that they show. They're an amazing bunch of kids, and I want to make them proud. I'm really grateful to my husband and my own children who have supported me throughout this endeavor. I would challenge you to look at the candidates and look at us carefully and decide who represents you, because that's the important thing. Who truly represents what you think and feel in the direction that you think that this island should go in, and then vote for them.
Thank you.
Hi, Kanoia Huna. Well, first of all, I'd like to mahalo the organizations that put this on and opportunity to be at this forum. And I really want to acknowledge my three sons back there. All three are here, super blessed to have all three of them present, as well as my husband, especially after the journey we went through this year. To have them here is amazing. In closing, I really just want to say that we can make a choice to vote for our future, for the best of who we are as people, people of this aina, our keiki, and our kupuna. Together, we can give Kauai what is so rightfully what we deserve here on Kauai, a strong, resilient, and more transparent voice at the state capitol, free from the trappings of the status quo. And so therefore, I, Kanoia Huna, there humbly ask for your vote to be our next state senator for District 8. Let us together bring the best of who we are into the future for our beloved Kauai and Niihau. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Aloha, Ron Kochi, running for state senate. I'd like to thank the organizers. Certainly thank all of you. What a overwhelming turnout this evening. The first year when you gave me the opportunity to serve in the state senate, I was asked to be the caucus leader and part of the leadership team. Within 5 years, I earned the respect of the majority of my caucus, and they asked me to be their president. It's been an honor and a privilege to be the first Senate president from the island of Kauai. And I believe that that experience and leadership role has translated into significant positive benefits for all of us here on Kauai. I will simply close because our eldest son, Dan, just walked off a plane about 5 minutes ago, coming home from the mainland, by saying, I am grateful for your past support, and I certainly would like to ask you for your support next Saturday in the primary election. It's been an honor and a privilege to serve you. I'm humbled by your support. Thank you very much.
Included contact information for all the candidates, because you very well may have other questions that you'd like to address the candidates.
Can you ask them to visit the table so you can also
okay.
Excuse them?
Okay. And thank you very much for your participation.
You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This KKCR program is supported in part by Kauai Mini Golf, Little Fish Coffee, Heaven on Earth, and Compassionate Care.